Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, we'll be reading three verses, verses 14 through verse 16. The book of Luke, I'll read verses 14 and 16 if you'll join with me on verse number 15. Once you've found Luke chapter 4, if you'll please stand, the reading of God's Word this morning. Luke chapter 4, beginning verse number 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And let's pray this morning. God, again, we have an opportunity to open up your good book, Lord. Well, there's some folks that are missing this morning that are out. Lord, I pray you bless them and be with those that are not feeling well. Lord, I do pray for the Holy Spirit power to be upon the speaker, upon the listener. Lord, that we take away something this morning we can use in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
His mind. And Charlotte, thank you so much for the good song this morning. I want to speak to you on this subject, get in the habit. Get in the habit. Let's pray together and we'll get right to the preaching this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to have church today. I ask you now to speak to our hearts. We come to your book. Would you please open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give us a good service as we look into your book. Speak to our hearts, please, in Jesus' name. And amen. If you stop and take a minute to think about your life, you would find things that you and your family do because it is your custom. Now, you see the word there in verse number 16 in the text that Brother Bragg read with us a moment ago. He says, the Bible says, and as his custom was. The definition of the word custom is not, it's not unusual or unfamiliar to you or me. It's frequent or common use or practice, a frequent repetition of the same act, established manner, habitual practice. That's what a custom is. It's an established manner, a habitual practice. Customs are a part of our lives. I was thinking about this over the last several days, and I was thinking about my wife and I. I grew up in the Robert Angel family. She grew up in the John Christner family. And both those unique families had customs that were unique to each family. Established manners, habitual practices, customs the Angel family had, customs that the Christner family had. And then we got married, and as a husband and wife starting out together, we started creating our own customs. And then God gave us six children, and the six children that God gave us grew up in our home, the Terry Angel family, practicing the customs that my wife and I established as a husband and a wife. Five of those kids are married now. Hannah married into the Walker family, and Ben married into the Finn family, and Abby married into the Miller family, and Luke married into the Robertson family, and Leah married into the Kavanaugh family, and Cherith is up for grabs. Maybe she'll marry into the Bibbs family. I don't know, but anyway. Probably not, but anyway. The thing about it is, these kids grew up in the Terry Angel family, and in Luke's case, he married Jessica Robertson, and the Robertsons had their customs and their established manners, and now those two, as a husband and wife, are starting out together to establish their custom, and that goes on from generation to generation, doesn't it? Customs. Now, one thing that I know my wife, I'm pleased, I know my wife is as well. I'm so pleased that so far, of the married kids, all married spouses that had one important custom that both families shared. Both families didn't share the same customs when it comes to Christmas. Both families don't share the same customs. When Hannah married to the Walker family, the Walker family didn't share the same customs that the Angel family shares when it comes to, like, the Walker family. One of the things, Jason's family, they don't do a whole lot at Christmas, his mom and dad. They do bigger things at birthdays and very small at Christmas. It's just, is it right or wrong? There's no right or wrong. It's different customs. Different customs. But one thing they shared in common, and I'm glad they did, was that they shared the custom of attending church faithfully. They shared that custom. And if there's one custom that I hope that whatever family Cherith marries into, I hope that she'll marry into a family that does the same, has the custom of attending church faithfully. And the truth of the matter is, folks, that is something that follows the pattern that was set by Jesus Christ Himself. Now, when we come to Luke chapter 4, Jesus is just starting His public ministry, okay? He's around 30 years of age. He's been in the wilderness, tempted by the devil, and He is starting to preach. He's starting to teach. He's starting to heal and do miracles and do all the things that He would in His public ministry. Verses 14 and 15 tell us that He came into Galilee in the power of the Spirit of God, and as He began to preach and teach and work miracles, the Bible says His fame grew. So the Lord Jesus' fame grew because of His public ministry. Then in verse number 16, the Bible tells us that He returned to His boyhood town, the town where He grew up since He was just a young child, the town of Nazareth. Now look at what it says. And He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, you understand in this time period that the synagogue, this was the place and this was the time for the Jews to gather together. They assembled on the Sabbath day in the synagogue. The synagogue was the place where the Scripture would be read and discussed, as songs would be sung. It was a place of worship. The Jewish people would come together. Today, we're Gentile people. We don't have a synagogue. Today, God's people assemble on Sunday. And when God's people assemble, it is for the purpose of worship, and the Bible is the main focus, and songs are sung, and we call it the church. The word church means assembly. It means called out assembly. And so I want you to notice that it was Jesus' custom to attend the assembly. Now, I believe it was his custom because that's how he was brought up as a little boy in the town of Nazareth. I believe Joseph, his earthly guardian, took him to the synagogue. It was his custom. And so now he's a grown man, 30 years of age, starting in public ministry. He goes to Nazareth, as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And I want to give you three or four things about this morning. Very simple message, and we'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice that Jesus attended the assembly faithfully. He attended the assembly faithfully. Verse 16 again says, as his custom was. As his established manner, his habitual practice, Jesus attended faithfully. Now, folks, this is a good characteristic to emulate. God's people should have an established manner. God's people should have a habitual practice of attending church services faithfully. That's what God's people have done for eons and eons and eons of time. This is not something that's new. This is something that was going on even in the Old Testament when they would gather together in places of worship. And you know, you and I live in a country where thankfully we still have pretty much freedom to assemble like this. There are some countries in the world today where Sunday morning God's people got together under the threat of their life. I remember being in Bible college. And it was back in the 70s, and of course, the Cold War with Russia was just in the beginning stages. And Billy Graham went over to Russia and to visit over there. And it was a big deal because of Billy Graham's America's evangelist, you know. And so Billy Graham goes there over there and he comes back and he says, you know, boy, there's religious freedom in Russia. I saw religious freedom in Russia. I went to church on Sunday. There's religious freedom in Russia. Dr. Ed Nelson, who was then pastor out in Colorado, he came to the college to teach. And he spoke in church ed to us young men. And he said, I don't know what Billy Graham experienced in Russia, but I can tell you firsthand, there's not religious freedom in Russia. Because he met with believers in the woods. He met with God's people in the woods and had a communion service, a Lord's Supper service in the woods. You see what they did to Billy Graham? They took him to all the approved, registered churches over there, state churches. Folks, America got its beginning because God's people fled the state church thing. They came to America to establish local assemblies where God's people could go freely and worship God without attachment to the government, to the state. And Ed Nelson talked about meeting. He had just gotten back from Russia and was meeting with people over there in Russia in the woods. And so this is the habitual practice of attending church services faithfully. It's not new to this day and age. It's an old practice. It's as old as Jesus when he was on the earth. He attended the public gatherings as his custom was. He went faithfully. Now, let me give you a question that should never be asked in a Christ-honoring home. Here's the question that should never be asked on a Saturday afternoon. Are we going to church tomorrow? That should never be asked. A Sunday morning, a question that should never be asked in a Christ-honoring home. Are we going to church today? Should ever be asked. You say, well, what if we don't? No, that's not a matter. That's not open for discussion. It's not a matter of question. It's Sunday morning. It's the place. It's the time for people to get together to worship God and serve God and love God and honor God. And we're going to be there at the church services faithfully because it's what Jesus Christ did. when He was on the earth. He went to the public assembly faithfully. We're not going to ask, you know, I don't think anybody asks, an old husband asks his wife, hey, are we going to eat tomorrow? She looks at you like, what are you talking about? We're going to eat tomorrow. You know, you folks probably are not going to go home tonight and or this afternoon and say, hey, are we going to go to work tomorrow? It's a foregone, and by the way, even if you don't feel 100%, you'll probably go to work. If your big toe hurts, you'll probably go to work. Because why? I need the money. I know money's king. I'm not saying don't go to work if your toe hurts. Don't stay home from church if your toe hurts. Well, what? I think the Lord's a little bit bigger than money. A little bit more important than money. I think your attendance here, my attendance here, honors Him. Gives Him glory. Brings Him honor and glory. It's a good thing for us to be here. We don't want to ask the question, are we going to church tomorrow? No, it is our custom. It's our established manner. It's our habitual practice. Yeah, but Pastor, if I get into that habitual practice, that established manner of going to church every Sunday, some of our neighbors and our relatives maybe even are going to accuse me of belonging to a cult. You belong to a cult. You know, there's a lot of different cults. You know, a lot of folks belong to a cult. There are a lot of folks that drink beer on Saturday night until they get drunk. They stay up late. They watch TV. And then they sleep in on Sunday till 11 o'clock in the morning. They wake up with a hangover and watch more TV. There's a lot of people who do that. A lot of folks. Or they wake up on Sunday morning, go to the golf course, and then go to the restaurant, eat some Sunday brunch, and then drink a little wine. And then they take the rest of the afternoon to sleep a little bit. That's what they all do. How many of those folks do that? Folks, get that out of your mind. Get it out of your... Look. Put a little rhino skin on. People are gonna accuse you of belonging to a cult if you go to church faithfully. But the truth of the matter is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ attended church faithfully as His custom was. His habitual practice. His habitual practice. You will do good if you make going to church an established manner, a habitual practice. You don't want to treat church like you do other places. You know, what's ahead for me this week? Well, I'm going to be here at the church. We're going to get some things done, getting ready for Revival Fires Conference, and there's no school this week, so I won't have the responsibilities of chapel on Tuesday or Bible class on Monday. So I don't know how this week is all going to fall out. I have some things planned that I need to do. I may or may not go to Ace Hardware this week. I might. I might not. I may or may not go by People's Bank this week. I don't always go by People's Bank. You know, the salary is deposited wirelessly. I think most people have that done nowadays. You used to have to take your paycheck by, fill out the deposit slip, and put it in the bank every time you got it. That's all done over the wire now. I may or may not visit People's Bank. I may or may not go to Farm and Fleet this week. Better chance that I will than I won't. Because Farm and Fleet's a great place to go any day. Absolutely. In fact, I do need some salt for my water softener, so I will be at Farmer Fleet this week, no doubt. I may or may not go to Menards this week. I like Menards. I like it. I like it. It's a great place. I may or may not go. I may or not. But I'll tell you what, there's one place I know I'm going next Sunday morning. If I'm still on planet Earth and I'm well, I'll be at 1280 Armor Road on Sunday morning because that's my custom. So, well, you're the pastor. Well, I guess I do have to come because I am the pastor. But you know, when I'm not here on Sunday, wherever I am, I'm going to go to church somewhere. I'm going to go to church somewhere. Usually if I'm not here, it's because I'm preaching in another church. Say, in a few weeks, I'll be down with my dad and mom, Lord willing, to help celebrate their 60th wedding anniversary. And I'll be there on a Sunday. And we'll be going to church there, Lord willing, at the church that mom and dad attend on Sunday morning because that's our custom. That's our custom. You say, well, that's just legalism. No, you've got the wrong definition for the word legalism. I don't go to church so I can keep myself saved. I don't go to church to save me. That's what legalism is. Legalism is adding something to salvation. Adding something to grace. I go to church because I am saved. I go to church. Folks, you know what? My folks raised us in church, but then they'll tell you that during my teenage years, we tailed off a little bit, and I tailed off a lot. I was ashamed of some things I used to do. skip church. When my folks thought I was there, skip it. Run around with Steve Jordan. I'm ashamed of that now. Ashamed of it. But you know, when I got saved, church was a place where I wanted to be. Amen. It was my custom. Some of us, some of God's people, treat and elevate Walmart above local church. Because your custom is to go there every Friday morning. Every Saturday afternoon. Every Thursday night. No questions asked. We're going to Walmart. And then turn around and ask on Saturday night, are we going to church tomorrow? Folks, I know I don't have to preach like this all the time. And you say, well, man, I'm here. What are you preaching about going? Well, will you be here in 3 weeks? Will you be here in the month of June? Will you be here in services in August? Will you be here in services? That's my custom. It's my custom. I go to church faithfully. Why? Because Jesus Christ. And number two, I want to show you this. Second thing about this passage, Jesus participated in the assembly when He attended. He participated in the assembly when He attended. Look at verse 16 again. The Bible says there at the very end of the verse, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, at the synagogue, there were things to participate in. There were elements that were part of their worship. They were singing. Singing was a part of their worship. In Psalm 149, verse number 1, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in, listen, the congregation of the saints. What do we call this right here? Congregation. Called a congregation in the Old Testament when the saints got together. We're in a congregation of saints this morning. And the Bible says that when the congregation of saints get together, they sing. Singing is a great way to praise God and to express your love to the Lord. You say, Pastor, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I know. Some of you can. I know. I've stood by close enough sometimes when I'm out in the auditorium to hear different people singing. And I think to myself, it's a good thing they're not in the church choir. That's why we have congregational singing. God has blessed some people with good voices and they have an ear for music and they can carry a tune. They can even carry a part. They can sing, the ladies can sing soprano or alto and some second soprano. Some men can sing baritone or bass or tenor or all three parts. And they're special music singers and choir singers and that's wonderful. But congregational singing is for everybody. It's for everybody to have the opportunity to sing to God. And by the way, that's the whole reason we come here. A lot of folks have said, I've heard it said in the past that on Sunday morning, you have people that come to church for the pastor. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it is. I go to church because I like Pastor so-and-so. I like Pastor so-and-so. I like Pastor so-and-so. There's a better reason for you to come here than me. And that's your Heavenly Father. It honors God for you to be here. It honors the Lord. And when you come, the opportunity to sing together as a church honors God. Grab a book and turn to the page and sing to God. And when you lift your voice, it's going to do several things. It's going to encourage your heart as you sing God's praise and you follow the words. Don't just sing the words empty-minded. Think about the words as you sing them. The words of these good hymns will minister to your heart. When congregational singing takes place, don't stand there and check out the crowd. Seems like a lot of men feel that's their calling. Not a lot, but some. You think I'm joking? I watch it. Can you imagine being in heaven someday? We're all gathered around the throne, and we start singing praises to God. Oh, we're going to do that in heaven? Oh, yeah. With a loud voice. You think Thomason's loud now? The other day was Wednesday night, And I was out visiting with some people, and I lost track of time. It was 7 o'clock, and he started the Wednesday night service. The person I was talking to jumped. You think it's... The Bible says we're going to sing unto God with a loud voice. And I can see some guy whose practice on earth was to kind of check out the crowd, you know. I can see him standing there in the great throng around the throne. Some angel come by, pop him in the head, amen. Say, get a book and sing, brother, amen. This is heaven. Brother Angel used to preach to you about it and encourage you, but you're not going to get by with it up here. Bang, sing. Oh, singing's great. I love it when God's people lift their voices and sing together. I love it. God ministers to my heart, stirs my heart just up. So you want to participate. Participate. Singing is part of what God's people do. And then look, Jesus stood up for to read. He participated in the things that were going on in the service. This was common practice. This was his custom. He stood up for to read. You know, people are funny. They really are. People are funny. You know, you go to a ball game. It's baseball season starts, I think, tomorrow. Well, maybe you start today. I heard some games today. But the Cubs and the White Sox play their games tomorrow. And I love baseball. Baseball is my favorite sport. I love it. And, of course, hope springs eternal for the Cubs this year, doesn't it? Man, oh, man. Can you imagine? Well, who knows? Who knows anyway? But anyway, people, you know, they go to a ball game. And when people go to a ball game, they are predisposed that when they get there, they're going to participate in everything. I'm not just going to go to the ball game. I'm going to buy a hot dog. And I'm going to buy some peanuts. And Cracker Jack. And I'm going to take $130 to do it. Amen. But I'm going to get all that stuff, and I'm going to participate. And when the seventh inning stretch comes, I'm going to sing, take me out to the ball game. And when the bases are loaded and there's one out, and we're losing by a run, I'm going to stand and I'm going to cheer. You know, I went to one ball game last year with Ben. Ben wanted to go to ball game. He went to a couple while he was in furlough. And went to see the Cubs and the Cardinals play. I think we went. Did you? And I was amazed how many people sitting around the ball game look on their cell phone. And then their cell phone. Brother Jeff said, that only happens at Wrigley Field. Amen. Don't happen at the White Sox, right? You know, they got people getting hit by foul balls now because they're not paying attention. And one of the broadcasters last season said, you folks who come to the ball game ought to pay attention. And they got mad at it. You can't say anything that makes sense without the media making a big deal about it. That makes sense. If you sit down in the third row, you better have your eyeballs open. My gracious. And you know, and by the way, I don't have my cell phone on me this morning. I don't. You say, well, I got mine, but it's on vibrate. Why do you want to have it on vibrate during church? Who needs to get a hold of you that is so important that you can't give 30, 45 minutes just to God? Turn it off. Well, I might miss a call. You might miss God's message. I'm amazed, folks. I'm amazed. Jesus, when he participated. He got involved. People go to a ball game and scream their lungs out and cheer and sing and eat hot dogs and drink Coca-Cola and then come to church, sit like a wooden Indian and complain about it being too noisy. A church. It doesn't make any sense to me. It make a sense. What it look? Attend faithfully, but don't just attend faithfully. Participate. Let me hasten to say this morning. Number three, Jesus opened the book and found the place. Look at verse number 17. We didn't read this with Brother Bragg a moment ago, but look at it. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place. Jesus opened the parchment, found the place, and he read from Isaiah 61. By the way, when Jesus did that, they didn't have chapters and verse numbers. So you got this big scroll with the book of Isaiah on it. And he turns and he finds the place where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. So forth. I won't read through all that. But my point is, get in the custom of bringing your Bible with you to church. Folks, there's something about this book. What a testimony. When people drive by Armor Road, drive on Armor Road by our church on Sundays, and they see people, families, elderly people, teenage young people, college and career young people, they see people getting out of a vehicle and walking into this building, and they're all carrying a book. A book. I know what you're thinking. Oh, he's against my cell phone. He's against my tablet. I got the Bible on my cell phone. I got the Bible on my cell phone. Sometimes I read it. Sometimes I put it on read to me and listen to it. Sometimes I do that when I'm driving. Just listen to the Bible on my cell phone. You know, I'm not against the Bible on your device. I got the Bible on my device. But I also have contacts and a calendar and a flashlight and a clock and Fox News and ESPN Sports and weather and maps and a sink and a refrigerator and a stove. Got it all on one little device. I can go to the bank on my device. It's unbelievable. So if I brought my device to church and used my device, my tablet, whatever, for my Bible, and especially if you've got all these alerts things turned on, you can have the potential to be so distracted. There's something about the singularity of that book right there. It's God's Word. It's not God's Word and, well, it might be God's Word and Grandma's recipe. You might have it stuck in there somewhere. Everything in your Bible may not be inspired. Even those pictures of those grandchildren, right? Amen. But it's a pretty singular book. Bring your Bible to church. Open it up. Find the place where we go. New Christians here this morning, turn to the book of Haggai. What? And folks that have been saved for 25 years go, where? That's why they make an index. So you can open up and say, I don't want to look at the index. Why not? Look at the index. Find the page. Turn to it. Keep the Bible open in your lap. And when the pastors or whoever the speaker is preaching through, get something out of the Bible. Bring your Bible. Find the place of the message. Turn to it. Read along. Make some notes. Bring a pen. Write in the margin of your Bible. You know what you're doing? You're being hungry for God to help you. Hungry for God to speak to your heart. I don't have time to develop this, but just if you like, draw a circle or make a note beside verses number 24 through 27. Because Jesus went on to tell this group of Jews. He said, some of them, they got very mad at him, very angry at what he read and what he said, because he told them that he was the Messiah. And then he said this. He said, you know what? In Israel in the old days, during the days of Elijah the prophet, do you know there was a lot of widows in Israel who were starving to death? But Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent to a widow of Zarephath, a Gentile. And in the days of Elisha the prophet, there were a bunch of men with leprosy in Israel. But Elisha was not sent to any of the Israelites who had leprosy. Elisha was sent to a Syrian, a Gentile. You know why? Because they were hungry. You mean they wanted something to eat? No, they wanted help. God's looking for the soul that wants help. Looks for the soul that wants help. You want some help? You can get help, folks. You say, what if the pastor doesn't preach about the thing that I need help with? The Spirit of God has the ability to take the truths of this book and help meet your needs from one side of this auditorium to the other. The Spirit of God can help you if you want it. Are you hungry? Yeah, I got a roast. I'm not talking about that. Are you hungry for God to speak to your heart? You know the songwriter Fanny Crosby, right? Fanny Crosby wrote a bunch of songs that are in this songbook. If you don't know, Fanny Crosby was blind. She was not born blind, but she had a problem with her eyesight, and they put a poultice, they put some kind of poultice on her eyes that literally took her sight. I believe that's the story. And she became blind. And as a blind lady, she wrote, I'm not kidding, there's dozens of hymns in this book that we sing that blind lady wrote. She became well known and famous because of her hymns, and she would be invited to speak in certain places. And one time she was invited, I think she lived in the state of New York, and she was invited to speak at a prison. And she went to the prison and she spoke to a group of inmates. And while she was speaking there, they sang some of her hymns that were familiar, that had become familiar in her time. And those men that were incarcerated, I guess it was men, might have been men and women, but the prison inmates, they sang. And then the story says that while they had just sung one of her hymns, and she was getting ready to teach a little bit more, speak a little bit more, and one of the inmates was heard saying these words, "Good Lord, do not pass me by." And Fanny Crosby overheard that inmate say those words, "Good Lord, do not pass me by." What was he saying? God was at work. God was at work in people's hearts, and he didn't want to miss out on it. So he said, "Good Lord, do not pass me by." She went home, and that night, she wrote the words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face, heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Though thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee, whom in heaven but thee, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by." Whew. That's what I need. You know, I didn't have to come to the service here on Thursday night at the Pilots Convention. We've been neck deep busy at our house getting ready for Alan and Abby to come stay for a couple months. Neck deep. But I needed to be here. Brother Caleb preached on the place of full surrender. God spoke to my heart. God spoke to me. Friend, I don't want to just attend church. I want to attend church faithfully. And I want to participate. And I want to bring my book. And I don't want God to pass me by. Don't pass me by. Speak to my heart. Get in the habit. Get in the habit. Many of you are. But some of you are not. Get in the habit. As his custom was. His established manner. His habitual practice. I'm going to the assembly. I'll be there. Father, bless our message this morning. Thank you for these dear people. I pray that you'll help the soul that needs it most this morning. God, we come to church not to observe and make a show. We come here so you'll speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts today. Help us, O Lord. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder today if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart, if it ministered to you in some special way. You could say that this morning honestly, Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message. The Lord spoke to me. Maybe, just because you're here all the time doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't become ritualistic and ceremonial, and participating from the heart and honoring God from the heart can get lost if we're not careful. I wonder if there's somebody here today who would say, "Pastor, God spoke to me about something specific this morning." Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you're sitting? God bless you. I see the hands. Amen. Thank you. Take your hand down. Now, let me ask this question. Is there somebody here today and the Spirit of God has come by your seat? He's come by your heart because you're not saved, and He wants you to be saved, and He's asking you to trust Christ, and He's pulling on your heart to do it. Is there anybody like that here this morning? You're not saved, and God wants you to be saved. You know He does. Would you slip your hand in the air so I could pray for you? Anybody like that today? Side to side, front to back. Anybody like that today? Or if you came to be baptized today, you need to come during the invitation to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now here's what we're going to do. I want you to find a songbook and turn to page 297. 297, find a songbook. And we're going to sing this morning together for the invitation. Now we're going to sing, but if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart and you know that you need to come to the altar just for a minute and speak back to God, I want you to use the altar in spite of the fact that we're singing. Let's stand together. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. 297, give us the chord, ladies. And we're singing together this beautiful hymn. And the altar is open. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Come now, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. Oh, while on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let's sing the third stanza. Trusting only in Thy merit, who would I seek Thy face? Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by Thy grace. Singing, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass. Just the piano, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just the piano. If you need to come this morning, just say a word to the Lord. The altar's open now. Don't pass me by, God. Don't pass me by. I'm a needy person. I have some deep needs. Help me, God. That's what church is all about. I'm so glad you're here this morning, every one of you, every last one of you. And I hope that you'll make it. If you haven't, I hope that you'll make it your habitual practice, as the Savior did, your custom, to be in the Lord's house on His day. You know, I feel sorry for the Lord, I really do. As human beings, we'll get mad at somebody and not go to church out of revenge. But you know who really loses? God does. God does. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for the privilege to have been here this morning and have this service with these dear people. Speak to our hearts continually through the days ahead, not just on Sunday. But Lord, you do come so often in these services and help us, and I'm so thankful for it. Meet the needs, I pray, today of Your people. In Jesus' name, and amen.